You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hello and welcome to the Anfield Index Sukare, Desi podcast.
Shut up, bastard.
And joining me, as usual, is Mr. Harinder Paji. Paji, how are you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Yeah, I'm a bit tired, but I'm good.
You're a bit tired? Yes, how come you're a bit tired?
Man.
Any shopping karke aaya hona ya?
I was fucking gallivanting. Hey. I think I've walked like 50 kilometers this 5 days, but it's all right. No worries, it's all good. So.
Oh.
Yeah, it's been a good week, Paji. It's been a really good weekend, good week. Good for Liverpool. Everything's good. Changa si program. Theek si.
Nice ho gaya, na?
Nice ho gaya. Very nice. So, go on then. You do the intros, don't you, as usual. Let's kick this shit off.
Well, talking about kicking shit off. We have Tiger Sameer Khosla, fresh from putting the young cubs to bed and showing them the eyes. He's the king of the jungle and will forever be more than just the sugary frosties for many, many people. Welcome to the show, Sameer.
Wow. Thank you for that introduction, Bodhi. Thanks for calling me back as well.
It's lucky that we call him Tiger and not Tigger, because, you know, sometimes in the friends we could just call him Tigger. Anyway.
I don't mind bouncing around.
Bouncing around. Joe, who else is coming on?
Well, to be fair, there is no Tiger without Cam, Hannah. I don't think everyone knows this.
Oh, you saved it.
Oh, no.
So, also joining us is Cam Bridge, aka Dio. Well, he needed to come because, well, he had to. There is no tango without Cash. There is no tiger without Cam.
Oh, yeah,
welcome to the show, Cam.
Oh, no,
oh, I see.
Oh, hi, Rabba, ek hi ho gaya.
What the fuck?
Oh, no. Mere biscuit chaara bich dikh gaya. Biscuit! Cookie nahi, biscuit!
Fucking.
Saaleya, pata lag gaya.
You know what?
Sorry, Jaffa cake.
You know, we don't want to get into the biscuit and cookie fucking debate again, okay?
Matia, there you go. No debate, huh? Matia.
There are actually Americans listening to this show. You will be surprised. So, anyway, let's move on to pretty much what was a fantastic weekend. The big game, you know, they came, you know, as wanting to be Tigers, but they left like Gidders. With their
Gidders.
Gidders, whatever.
Gidders.
With tails between their legs.
Changa sota feria Gidranu.
In it.
And field bandage.
Their bus resembled one from the 90s of Bengal roadways. With windows all shattered along the GT road and remnants of the crashes and the bumps associated with the 5-1 demolition at Anfield. It's been a long time coming, to be honest. Bus wankers getting their just desserts, and it's a fucking about time, man. So as Jürgen and his mighty Reds enjoy their gulab jamuns, and my feeling feels like the abandoned toffee wala quality street, because no one likes those. How do you
listen? They've been dissed and dismissed, man. Bachare,
in it.
My mum used to love those toffees.
Nah,
seriously, like the big, you know, all the time. Whenever we get a Quality Street dubba at Christmas, back in the good old days, I knew who took the toffee ones.
Yeah, but that's a
Aunt PG.
Aunt PG.
Yep.
Mossy G.
Thank God for that as well, because I couldn't stand the fuckers. They get in the way.
Basically, there were goals from all around clever play and some sumptuous carving moves. The boss described this as the best counter-pressing football performance since he's arrived. And if you listen to Under Pressure, they pretty much proved that with the stats as well that I collected over the weekend. And did everyone sparkle like a gem, or did some of your your senior leave you with some need to highlight an issue? Going nooks,
only on the day of the match, Sako coming out with daft comments, but in the match, I think there's always room for improvement. If you're really going to nitpick, you want to see a little bit more from Wijnaldum.
I thought he was really good.
I
do think he was good, but I said I want to see a bit more from him, getting into the box a bit. You know, interestingly, I read an article from him the other day, today even, and he was saying that I'm having to stay back because I'm never used to people like Henderson going beyond me. He goes, it's always usually me getting forward and going beyond the man. And I'm really nitpicking here, right? And it's only, and I was thinking it myself, thinking, you know, one thing we lacked last season, we really lacked, and the year before was goals from midfield. And we're seeing that now, even though, you know, it seems like all our strikers are midfielders.
Well, we've got no strikers scored, no out-and-out strikers scored.
And we're so fluid in our positional play. And one of the things that I'd like to see, and I think we all would like to see, is someone like Henderson putting in 10 goals a season. You know, that was one of my always biggest irks of people like Alan and Lucas, that, yeah, they might do a job, but they're never going to score your goal, or they're unlikely to score your goal. So bringing in the likes of Wijnaldum, I thought to myself, yeah, 11 goals last season, you know, in a crappy Newcastle team. Yeah, we should see some more. We should see some from him. And it's early days, and I think we will. But other than the goals, his performances is fantastic. You know, he keeps the ball well. He looks up every time he's got the ball. His head is up. He's not, you know, looking for the short pass. His head is up. I really like that. I like that in a footballer. He's got that positional sense, and he's got that security on the ball where he can actually, you know, I can have a look up and see what's around me.
Cam, I thought he had a couple of good chances to score. I think he'll get closer. I think it'll come. It'll come for me. Any nooks from your side, or everything hunky-dory?
Just on Wijnaldum, he did have the one shot in the first half, which was really well saved by the keeper. I think he knits the play really well. I think that's his job. He's also been a bit of a, not a DM as such, but he's dropping back and covering. Leroy did a great video. If you look for that on Twitter, where it shows, Gini just dropping in into the left back role when, Milner's looking to push forward. He's got that awareness. So he's playing a different role from what he played at Newcastle. So I think, maybe if he was playing more of what Lallana was playing, you might see the goals that Lallana's getting rather than what Gini isn't doing at the moment. So I'm not too worried about Gini, to be honest. I thought he was really good. The little
nooks puchea, me nooks kadea. Nooks na pujo naita.
Par mele nooks ni si. Hondas. So, but nitpicking, Phil Coutinho, his final pass. On four or five occasions, second half, his final pass was really poor.
But weren't we 4-1 up at that point?
Yeah. But
we could have made goal difference out of the question. Right.
Well,
ten men. We should have been turning the screw. That was actually, if you wanted to have a nook, there's another nook. We should have turned the screw.
Well, 4-1 is turning
didn't
the
we?
Screw.
Hang on. On right there, Tiger.
Oh, Hunter Gacy.
Okay.
Where's the roar?
Okay. Oh, no. You know what? Historically, we played quite a few teams when they've gone down to 10 men, and we never fucking capitalised. I can remember it so many pissing times, Newcastle being one of the most recent ones from a while back. Not Arsenal, somebody else. They went down to 10 men, and we fucking didn't put them to the sword. Bloody hell. Listen, it got to 2-0. And they had a man sent off. We scored three more goals after that. What more of a screw did you want?
Yeah, but we scored three more goals. How long did it take? And I'm, you know what?
We got three of them in the first half.
We're really nitpicking here. We got three of them in the first half. So that means we got two in the second half against 10 men. We got more.
When you're down to 10 men, if you're Hull, you're gonna camp backwards more so than you would have, right? They had the half-time regroup, reshape.
Change players, by the way, guys. We took players off as well.
Have a biscuit.
Jar bunny.
Yeah, jar bunny. Because to fuck me, they weren't going to get any oranges apart from the ones that got thrown in
their
head.
Get the gourd and the jacket and the sweater.
What the
Sorry, poor charity's taking over. All I'm going to say was, look, at the end of the day, you take the players off around 70 minutes. You take Lallana off, take Coutinho off. You know, it's gonna change a little bit. It's going to change a little bit. And then Studge comes on. He wins the penalty. I think the only thing I'd say is that we're not getting strikers to score. I'm happy with the way things are going. I'm happy the way...
Happy with 5-1, even the
yeah,
one.
Yeah, God, yeah.
Because when you look at the one.
There's the nooks. Yeah. We shouldn't be conceding that goal. That's the only nooks we should be taking out, is conceding stupid goals. That should always
it was a bit of a strange one. The corner came in and kind of, it ricocheted. And it went, I can't even say it was a ricochet. Karius is on his line, gets into the middle, it comes into the middle of the defenders. It kind of bounces straight to their scorer and literally he lashes at it straight off the back because it's right at him. He just happened to be lucky to be in that place.
Klopp,
otherwise, I think someone would have cleared it.
Klopp analysed it on Monday Night Football and he was just...
Yeah, he blamed Trevor.
Yeah, he did. He just said, look, he's watching the ball. He should be watching the man as well at some point. Yeah, so, there you go.
He actually had a man on him. Trevor did. Flavin was actually marking the man. That's the worst thing about it. Marking the man who was to his right. But Klopp was blaming him for not picking up the man from the other side. But what do I know? I ain't arguing with Klopp. I hope he sorts Clavin out for that then. To be watching two men.
No, I think he's quite good like that. I think he thinks, yeah, we made a mistake, but we scored five here. We can't be too nitpicky. I know that this is job of the fans to be stuff like this, you know. But I think the manager will go in and say, yeah, there was an issue there. It didn't cost us this time. Let's get better. Let's keep practicing. Because I know for a fact they're practicing the set pieces all the time because they did it in the open training session in the US. And he was going ballistic at them. Like, he wants them to stop the crosses going in. First and foremost, he doesn't even want the cross going in. You know, in open play, he doesn't want the cross even getting into the box. Why even have the issue of defending the header? The fullback or the midfielder covering should be just not allowing that ball to come in. So he's always screaming, stop the cross. So, you know, you can tell he's working. You can tell it's working because we're playing some of the best football we've seen in years at Anfield. So, you know, you can tell things are working. It'll just take time. I think we need a settled back four. Even now, it's not a settled back four because Clavin came in for Lovren. So even now, something keeps changing. Three of them have been, I think, standard set now for a few games. But still, we're not getting a regular back four. And I think once you get that regular back four in there and they play five, six games, seven games, we start getting a couple of clean sheets. I think everything will feel a bit more comfortable. But I think Matip makes things comfortable anyway, personally.
Very comfortable. It's been ages since we've seen such a composed defender on the ball, right? At Liverpool. Mm. It'd be a long time, especially with that kind of grace and height as well. You know, he's just been amazing.
Truly has quality.
Absolute revelation. Absolute revelation in the back.
Yeah,
the only other nooks, by the way, is the fact that, do you know what? I don't know. I've listened to a fair few pods about the match. Not one person has brought this up. Not one. Half mentioned in the Under Pressure pod. Half mentioned. But nobody's gone into depth about this. James Milner, Salah, Tenu, Keita, Klivsigi. Let him take the fucking penalty. Let him take the penalty. Tenu, you've already got a goal. What was wrong with you? I felt so sorry for him. It was like puppy dog eyes. He's holding the ball in his hand and he's like, me.
Nah,
me?
we don't.
Sukare.
I don't agree with that.
Menu,
Let's take this as a panel. Tiger, let's go you first. What are your thoughts? Yeah. Would you give a penalty away or do you stick with what the manager's told you to do?
I had Milner in my fantasy team, so I was All right. I saw
football
a Liverpool
manager fantasy football.
I thought Milner. I only put him in my fantasy team because he takes the penalties. And if you've seen our fixtures, we're guaranteed a few penalties in the next few games because the other teams are prone to conceding them. So I was happy to do that. But yeah, it manages rules all the time. That's, you know what, puppy eyes or no eyes, Milner's the man for the job. And you know, we've had some inconsistencies over recently on penalty takers. Milner's got the authority in front of goal, takes it, he's got the respect of his teammates, that he, you know, they trust him, give him the penalty. You know, he's why does Sturridge get such a 3 point just because he wants it? I'm sure everyone else wants it as well.
He did win the penalty, to be fair to him.
But everybody wins.
That's
penalties.
Not an argument.
So Coutinho should have the first one.
He didn't do the pit puppy eyes, did he?
Yeah, he didn't try and grab the ball.
He's terrible at penalties.
Yeah, he is.
He's missed a couple
still
of Liverpool
chance.
Okay, Cam, do you agree with Bardi or not?
My piece.
But you know, like his you could see his bottom clip quivering when Milner said no.
His bottom clip.
I had a great view of it as well. I was like sitting there thinking, like,
your view wasn't as good as mine.
You know
it was right.
Was much better
me.
Than it was usually. Sorry, I should have put it.
No.
I mean, Amar.
Go on, Cam. What do you think?
Penalty taker should always take the penalty.
Full stop in it.
Oh, the only time I would somebody else take the penalty is if they're on a hat trick. Then fair enough. And you know, but otherwise, penalty takers, designated penalty takers take the penalty. That's why you have a designated penalty taker for.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's why I would go with as well. I know, Bardi, you want some.
Sorry, Bardi.
I think the important thing is getting Studge off the mark, right? I understand, but that wasn't the time. I would rather Studge score in open play. It'll feel better, but. Yeah, let's see. I think Sturridge when he started the game, the Leicester game, he was unplayable that day. He was just so brilliant and he was involved in everything. So I don't think Sturridge got anything to worry about. They'll come. The goals will come if he starts to once he starts another game. Maybe this weekend. I reckon he'll score this weekend. Maybe want to put a bet on. But let's talk about some of these players because Cam, sticking with you first. There were some standout performances. One player that has taken a lot of stick on this podcast from myself as well.
From all of us is
Adam Lallana. apart from him. But let me put this. Okay, you know, you clear his throat. Bloody hell! You know what? That's
bad. Pani pila jaake.
In it. What the hell?
Gal chay mi kuch fasya. Biscuit ya to cookie ya. Anyway,
listen. So jump the cake. A lot of people are saying they're jumping the gun here because there's 2 years of form and then there's 6 years of form. Yeah. And it's too early to be just getting on their high horses at the moment. Let's see how he goes. And we should celebrate the fact that he's doing great. We should.
No, I'm not really.
We said Adam Lallana. That's fantastic, right? But
yeah.
But is it too early, Cam? Let's see how it goes for the next 10 games or so. Half a season, at least.
No, give credit where credit's due.
Simple as that, right now,
you know, at the end of the day, you can only judge a player on what they're doing right now. And right now, Adam Lallana is playing absolutely brilliantly. The difference in his role, and we noted it after the Barcelona friendly at Wembley.
He was fantastic.
He was fantastic that day. And it was because he's dropped deeper. The play is now happening in front of him. It's not having to happen to the side of him or behind him. And because it's happening in front of him, he can make better decisions. And the decision making he's making at this moment in time is top draw. You cannot take it away from the guy. The way he's playing at the moment, he is one of the best midfielders in the country right now. You can't argue with that.
Oof, Tiger, what would you say to that statement from Cam?
Yeah, I think he is one of the best. He's increasingly important player for England. And I think he's found his feet. It's taken his time, but he's found his feet now in this Liverpool team. He knows what his role is. And I think the fluidity of this team, I think, really suits him. It's an interesting observation about the players in front of him. Because I think he's really good, and what we're finding is he's finding himself in more and more space because of the movement that's going on around him and in front of him, and that's allowing him to either pick a pass or run into the spaces that's been created by the runs.
I've never seen Lallana in these positions, never, because when he's playing up top, he's the one who's trying to make the space, isn't he? But now he's getting the chance of going there.
one of the problems we found was when he had his back to goal was, one, he'd be waiting for the pace of people to come and join him and someone else to run beyond. And two, there was this tighter space because you got less space between him because he's so far forward and the goal. So he was finding himself in tighter spaces. Now he's got, it's the movement around him that's making it, that's allowing him to play his attacking game and play that, not only the play in tight spaces, but also look for those passes as well. You can't fault him at the minute. His work rate
better.
As well.
His decisions.
It's his work.
Better.
It's his work rate as well. Like you just want him on your team because you know he's going to track back and support you, and you know he's always going to be looking for a pass as well. He doesn't strike you as a selfish player.
No. See, him and Milner, right? Two players that before the season started, people were like, these are the two that I don't want in the Liverpool team. But in fact, they're the most selfless players in this Liverpool team. They're willing to give up what they naturally want to play, you know, where they naturally want to play to actually help the team out. Milner's doing it at left back. He said himself, it's not his favourite position. And this will probably become Lallana's favourite position because at Liverpool, this is his purple patch Pardew. This has changed Lallana totally. We wanted goals and assists from him for 2 years. And they've all turned up in the first six games of the season. Let's hope they don't dry up.
Put it this way. It's not like Hull's bus, which was broken. Hey, this bus has all turned up at once. Sorry, Agi, or Adam, the bus line, huh? Yeah. It must be like those special AC coaches that go to Chandigarh.
No, it's a Tandy coaches in Wolverhampton.
No, they're rubbish.
Oh,
anyway,
dearie
sorry.
Me. But, no, they're not. You leave Tandy coaches alone, no? They're Rishtadar. Hang on, listen. They're Rishtadar. Listen to this pod. So, Baska.
I apologise. If you want to sponsor the pod, let me know.
No, they won't now. I'll have to go and do the Menta saying, though he didn't mean he's from Wolverhampton.
Wolverhampton. So, Lallana, you've been an advocate of him for a long time.
I have been because I've always seen him work so effortlessly. I've seen his
as well as me.
Yes, Tiger in private conversations with myself, WhatsApp groups. He's always been.
Now, great. As Cam and Tiger have said, right, the space that he's afforded is extremely helpful because he doesn't then try and do one more turn, one more twist, one more, shaky of his booty to try and wriggle around from somebody. We don't see that anymore, which is great. You know, that extra touches that everyone used to love, everyone used to get upset about, those aren't happening. But what you are seeing happening is that there is a certain Brazilian who goes darting in every single angle, goes one way, goes 45 degrees another way, drags someone this way, drags someone that way, called Roberto Firmino. Because of the way that Firmino's playing, it's enabling Lallana to have all the time in the world to think about what he's going to do next. To set up Mane was just brilliant. You just watch that Mane go back. Every single piece of it, you sit there and go, nah, man, how did you guys do that? Because you see everyone just move, shift all of a sudden. And Mane's like, oh, yeah, all right, I've got the ball. Hang on, I'll turn it to one side, bang, 3-0.
Even Lallana's goal, Firmino makes the run. He crosses in front of
again.
Exactly. Yep, it's Firmino.
And you can just see the defenders looking at him.
That's happening in every single game, Pardew.
That's happening with a lot of goals.
Yeah.
Yep.
If it's not Lallana, it's Mane. If it's not Mane, it's Firmino. If it's not Firmino, it's Sturridge. Someone like Sturridge against Leicester, there's someone. It's like, it's a proper plan, you know? It's that Dortmund plan that he's bringing and the Gegenpress as well. All of it in one go. Like, this pressing performance was one of the biggest. Like, we had the majority of the ball and yet we pressed so much. So much. So, just imagine that. Like for an opposition, you could watch that game, and I think you two were there, weren't you, Pardew and Cam? You must have seen.
Yes.
You must have watched it, Cam, and thought, "What the hell is going on? They're being attacked."
When it was 1-0, I sat there and thought, "All right, I hope it doesn't stay 1-0, because if it stays 1-0, it means that we're not capitalizing on anything here." And as time progressed between the first goal and the second goal, 10, 15 minutes, whatever it was, you're like thinking, what are we doing here? Because you could just see how regrouping, trying to stay as they can, but they couldn't contain them. They could not contain that amount of movement. Boss wankers got totally demolished. Totally demolished. You can have two banks of four. You can have five in the back. I mean, for this, you're watching the second half. At times, you've got five defenders at the back, five in a line, and they were still running around them. Firmino's running one way, Lallana going out, twisting and turning them around. They don't know what to do. Onadi puth nikamati si onita, as they were saying in Punjabi. They turned their ghost inside out because they had no place to go, nowhere to hide. Everywhere you went, Liverpool run them in like a rush. And if they lost the ball, you know, if Liverpool were making an attack and they lost the ball, they went and got it back again. And if they didn't get it back again, there's two people behind them to get the ball back for them, feed it back again, and go, let's start again.
Waves. There were waves.
How are you going to compete with that?
There were waves.
Anfield. It's just fantastic to watch.
I mean, I watched this game in the New York, you know, LFC NY bar, and it was just phenomenal. Like, the atmosphere, people were going mental in there. It was just, I had to watch it again on the weekend.
I saw the video. The lady next to you wouldn't seem very impressed.
She was funny, yeah. A lot of people keep saying that. She didn't move, but everybody else around her is jumping around going crazy, and she's just telling it like, I don't want to be here.
Maybe she was scared.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, was it Bobby?
No. No, it wasn't my wife.
Oh, no, I haven't seen the video. I'm just laughing. I'm just assuming. She didn't want to be there. Sounds like Bobby wouldn't have been there.
Check it out. It's on Facebook. But there's one person who just doesn't move. But I think Justin Wells will let you know who it is. I think he knows. She's a regular. But she probably just doesn't get involved in the celebrating. I don't know. I don't remember the reason after a few drinks.
Do you know what? Some people will know this. Is she the New York version of the Sari Butti? There's a Sari Butti guy. I'm not going to say his name. I'm not going to say who he is. Yeah, I'm not even going to say what we actually fully call him. But there's a Sari Butti up in Abanda who goes to every match. Grumpy as fuck. I swear to God. Neither does he say hello. Neither does he shake your hand. You won't get a nod. You won't get a smile. You won't get a wave of acknowledgement. The sheer fact that you're, you know, saying hello to the guy who just like this grumpy thing just moves past you. And you're like, well, no, he's not Gunja. We're not saying anything apart from Sari Butti. Everyone who's listened to the pod who knows me will know exactly who I'm talking about. So
there's two now because Tiger knows one.
Trust me, everyone knows this Sari Butti. Because
I don't know who this is.
When I'll show you, and you'll be like, who, him? That one? Why? Yeah? What did you think? Seriously, you'd be like, what the hell? Just smile every once in a while. It's not that bad. We're not going to hurt you. We're not going to bite. Well, not unless you ask nicely.
Let's segue into a chat about Philip Coutinho, because Cam, this guy, there is a few things that I raised about him, his shooting, etc. You know, he was being wasteful, his passing. A lot of things you raised it earlier, but
yeah.
Stats are saying now that this guy, since Klopp joined Liverpool Football Club, he's the most productive player in the Premier League. Goals, assists, everything, clear chances, whatever. When you put that together, he is the most productive player in the Premier League. That was a surprise to me. I mean, how do you...
That's mental.
Yeah.
That's just mental. That's a mental stat. I mean, how do you comment? The stats speak for themselves then, don't they? I mean, the play he's putting on the pitch, what he did on against Hull, it's, you don't realise how strong and skillful and clever he is. You know, the way that first goal he set up for Lallana, it's just the way he knew which way to move his body before the pass had even been made.
So good.
Yeah. And just that movement made the goal. It wasn't the scuff shot as such. It was that movement that took two defenders out of the game just with that little clever turn. You know, he's on another level. I mean, he's getting the recognition he deserves now. He's getting games for Brazil. His game is of a high quality, a really, really high quality.
It's the consistency we wanted, wasn't it?
He's getting there, isn't he? You know, and, he had that when he first came, you know, in 2013, January 2013,
yeah.
Was it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, him and Sturridge, they just went off like a house on fire. But he creates partnerships with anyone. He gets understandings with anybody. He's so clever. He doesn't have any problems. They say, oh, players need time to gel. Not if you're Philip Coutinho.
He needs movement. We've always said it. That's why under Rodgers, he was struggling. And yes. Tiger, this is, you know, we're blessed right now because we've got two X factors at the moment in this team are, for me, Coutinho and Firmino. I mean, what do you think of these two boys?
I think they complement each other really well. You guys have said everything needs to be said about Coutinho. But Firmino, on the other hand, you know what? There's everything about his game. We talked earlier about the spaces and creating the space for Adam Lallana. But you know, you will find you'll just as likely to find Firmino in the box, in our own box, as you are in the opposition box, because he gets back all the time. So that fluidity in the formation or in that team really suits the likes of Coutinho and Firmino. I think by nature they're natural flair players, but the fact that they've got this team ethic about them and this natural talent that, you know, allows them to be in the right place at the right time, which is great. You know, sometimes you look at Coutinho and you think, wow, you know, just stop him from coming inside, right? He's going to come inside on his right foot and curl it in the top corner. How many times have we seen it? But yet no one's been able to do it. So there's something very special about him and Firmino. And when they're together on the pitch, you know, something is likely to happen.
I was blown away the other week when Coutinho didn't even play and we smashed Leicester, and now Sturridge doesn't play and we smashed all. I mean, it's a different quality of team, but I'm just reveling in the squad game tiger at the moment. It's just like, what the hell?
I think it's only going to get better. You know, people like Origi knocking on the door. Sturridge is not going to want to sit on that bench for too much longer. Grujic's going to want a game. Emre Can's going to be coming back. It's, you know, this is absolute blessing for us at the moment.
Do you know what this is, guys? I've just realized what this is. This is a Desi film. And do you know Gags? It's a Desi film in the name of one of the main players behind it all. Film.
You got us on a knife edge.
1973, the Galea, Bobby.
Oh my God, are you serious?
Bobby?
What was Bobby about? Do you remember? It was one of those bloody years ago.
Yes, I know Bobby.
Yeah, I remember Bobby, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, Richard, how could anyone forget Duke Bukabadia, for God's sake?
Yeah. Like, exactly. But it was about let's say our riches, in inverted commas, are the Brazilians. Yeah? And we're... Yeah. Poor us, you know, we ain't won the league God knows how many years and everything's going wrong. And we had Brendan and, you know, we were looking for saviors. And it's the ultimate Bollywood movie. We get our Brazilians coming in. They provide the romance. They fall in love with Liverpool and Galamuki. There you go. It's Bobby the film, I'm telling you. Father to that tangent.
Oh my God, like, what the fuck?
I thought he was going to come out with something like full of superstars.
I thought he was going to say, follow up, there you go.
Excuse me?
I thought he said, squeeze me.
What do you think I've been doing on this one?
Yeah, squeeze me.
You know what? I actually thought he was going to say, Phil Coutinho. No, listen. I thought he said,
Sukare.
Cam, I thought he was going to say that Phil Coutinho was Rishi Kapoor.
Does that make Firmino
Dempsey? Bobby for me, okay, now, anyway, if you don't know what we're on about,
his dress sense is a bit weird at times.
If you don't know what we're on about, which you won't, go and Google Bobby the movie, which is a Bollywood movie, and look at the main lead.
The groundbreaking film of its day, imitated by bloody everybody since.
Great songs as well. But you know what? Before we go to the Swansea preview with you guys, I'm going to do the curveball here. So, we've been talking about... It's better though, isn't it?
It
fits in nicely. So, basically what we're going to talk about is... We've just talked about that front four. We haven't talked about Mane much, actually, which we should. But maybe this will be where we talk about him. So... This front four, five, whatever you want to call it, however we mix it up, the squad, whatever. Is this the best attacking group of players in the league? That's the question, Tiger.
Ooh, that's a cracking question, that is. That's a cracking question.
Group, remember, not one or two.
I think I think the way that they play together, you know, it's hard to say no. You know, I think about Arsenal and you look at Sanchez and Walcott, but there's not like a proper group there. And actually, I don't think Wenger knows his first choice. The only one you can look at really is City, and you know, Sterling, De Bruyne, Aguero, and Silva. That's pretty sexy as well. I think we're up there. I'd rather have our four than those lot. Because I think they're only an Aguero injury away from, or now a De Bruyne injury away, and they haven't got much else. I'm biased though. Yeah, we are.
Yeah. Cam?
Yeah.
If you go on the stats which is, suggest we are.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we've pretty much up there in the scoring charts, aren't
we? We're number one since Klopp joined. We're the best. 71 goals since Klopp joined. You know,
but you've asked about this 4 or 5, which is obviously
of course, but it shows that the system. It just shows. Yeah, but we've scored what, 16, 17 already this year?
I know. That's what I'm saying. You know, this season the stats are showing we're up there.
Because my bet's going to come in.
What the hell?
Yeah.
Gags, I was telling you the other day, sorry to interrupt, but I put a bet on at the beginning of the season that we'll get 100 league goals.
Oh yeah, you bastard, you did.
Remember I told you that?
Yeah, you did. And I was like, what the hell are you on about?
Great show.
This was before so it's Leicester, I think, wasn't it?
No, I did it at the beginning of the season.
Oh my God, what a shout.
I did it at the beginning. Wow. I did it at the beginning.
Sam Maguire, shout out to Sam, he won't listen to Desi, but Sam Maguire, lead writer on it.
Got it!
He's saying 98 at the moment. The model is saying we're hitting 98 right now. That's close.
Okay.
Yeah. So you're close.
That should win us the league then.
No, because we're conceding.
Well, we scored 100.
We're going to concede 88.
No, we're going to concede 50 something as well. He said, I saw it on Twitter somewhere. But so that doesn't win you the league. That doesn't win you the
league. No, but it gets you Champions League place.
100%.
Yeah, it does.
Sorry, yeah. Cam, you were saying?
What we've got such a fluid front line. The movement, the way we're dragging people apart. I mean, it's got to be up there, you know, as one of the best in the league. You know, Tiger had a great shout with the Man City front line. You know, they've got an awesome finisher in Kun Aguero. He's always going to score you 20 plus goals a season. But the thing is, you take Kun Aguero out of that lineup and then you're thinking, who really steps up? You take one of our players out of that lineup. You know, because of what we've seen this season, we're still going to score the goals. Mm. So I would have to say, yes, we have got the best forward lineup in the league right now.
Baji, are we getting carried away here? Or?
Of course we are.
Do you know what? On paper, Man City have got the riches, right? So they've got Kun Aguero, as Cam Baji's already said. They've got like De Bruyne of speed and finishing as well. It's not bad. They bought Nolito. Nolito's not a bad finisher, to be fair. He's not as fast as the rest of them. They bought Gundogan. They've got Sané. And they're always kind of like, you know, Arjanacho as well. Iheanacho, sorry.
He's great. He is really good, you know?
Yeah.
He's really good.
Can't say his name for shit, because that's why I call him Arjanacho.
That's fucking brilliant.
But Cam's right. So once you take, let's say if you took Aguero out of that lineup, yeah? Who scores? If you look at our midfield and our attacking line, any one of them score. The goals are being spread between them. I haven't got stats to hand, but I'm sure some geezer out there has got this already mapped out. Man City's forward line versus our forward line, how the goals being spread. And if it's all of that front line that's scoring, then I'll put my hands up and I'm going to get it wrong. But just to someone like me, complete layman is looking at it, our goals could be any one of them. Theirs, mainly is going to be the striker, or is going to be De Bruyne, right?
Yeah, you know.
Sterling every now and again gets his arse in the way and gets one in there. Salah, sap another one.
They just got off an Aguero ban and they scored goals in those games when Aguero was banned. That's great, to be fair. Great point. We are biased.
Yeah, we are being biased. I mean, Sterling
looks a different player. Yeah, he scored tonight again as well.
He scored an own goal as well.
Exactly. Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Anyway,
it's tight. It's tight, isn't it? It's tight. It's really tight. So my next question, and Baji, we're going to start this way round now. So go to you, and this is the next curveball. Sorry, there's two. There's been loads of discussions about this, and it was lovely segue from Sterling here. Is Mane better than Sterling? So I'm giving you the tough ones today.
Is Mane better than Sterling?
So, Baji, start with you first.
Yes. Next.
Is that no? Take the objectivity. You're normally objective.
You really think, right? Okay, let's actually nail this. Would you really expect me to be rational and saying Sterling, who left us like a complete and utter kutta haram jala that he is, because he wanted to win things at Man City? Fucking dickhead.
That's nonsense talk, because at the end of the day,
you've asked me a question. I don't have to rationalize my answer that completely. I told you, I think he's a fucking dick.
He wasn't getting on with Rodgers.
He wasn't getting on with Rodgers.
Yeah, yeah. Let's be objective. Yeah.
But then I'm allowed to say why I think Mane is better. Hand on heart, which one of the two is going to put the ball in the back of the net more 9 times out of 10, Mane or Sterling?
Well,
the stats says Mane.
The stats are showing Sterling at the moment. He's got more.
My gut says Mane.
I was going to say I've got to agree with Bajie on that. My gut says that over a course of a season, and I'll put a bet on with any of you three right now. And Bardi won't take this bet because he'll agree with me. Mane will score more goals than Sterling this season.
It's not just goals, though, is it? It's about everything.
He's scored more goals so far.
I think Sterling's ahead at the moment.
I would probably think that as well.
Yeah,
that's at the moment. Fair enough. Yeah, he might be ahead at this moment, but you're asking who you think is the better player.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, don't get me wrong. When Sterling was at Liverpool, I loved everything he did. But he couldn't put the ball in the back of the net for Toffee. Mm. You know, he just couldn't. You know, he just.
That's what he found out.
Yeah, yeah.
No, but that was that one season when he was playing with Suarez and Sturridge and that. Didn't he score 10 goals that season? And he only played like a few, like a third of it or a half of it.
I don't know. He can finish. He had a bad year, guys.
He was a kid.
Yeah.
You know?
How long do you stay a kid for? You know?
When you're 18, 19, you're a kid.
Yeah, okay.
So, anyway, my turn now. So, yeah, go, Tiger. So, what are you thinking in this case? Because I'll go on to what I think afterwards, but Mane, Sterling, Premier League, last few years, your floor.
So, based on last season, Mane was definitely the boy. And Sterling was just, you know, everyone was looking at what... Yeah, we were thinking, 50 million in the bank. Happy days. Guardiola's absolutely rejuvenated Sterling. And the frightening thing is you see Sterling getting better all the time. Mane is already an exceptional player and he is frightening, right? Quick. He has got the goals already in his game. We know that's in his locker. We're starting to, and right now I'd say Mane. But come the end of the season, I think if Sterling carries on the progression that he is, you know, I think Mane is already as good as he's probably going to be. You know, if he can get better, fantastic. But Sterling, we know that the potential there to be unlocked is still, you know, only at 60-70%, and there's still a bit to come. And someone like Guardiola, he'll find 5% every season, 10% extra from him every season. So right now, Mane, but. Watch his space for Sterling, I think.
I think a lot of people will agree with you on that. But there's a lot of people talking about, this is the point I was going to make, was that Mane has these phases in a season where he goes, last 3 years especially, where he goes through a glut of 10 to 12, 15 games where he doesn't do much. And normally in the middle of the season, whether it's tiredness, who knows what happens. There's a trend over 3 years. So I think this year is a big year for him to prove...
We've got a squad himself. Though. Every other team he's been in, he's been the go-to player. He's not going to be that player. He will get rotated out. He won't play every game. So we won't have that independency that we had 3 years ago when, if Suarez isn't playing, we're screwed type thing. This and same with Southampton. You know, they were dependent on Mane. He's not going to have that scenario this year. He's playing with better players already.
But the only game Mane didn't play for Liverpool in the league this season, we lost.
Oh yeah.
So aren't we saying here that we are kind of dependent on him because of his influence rather than his scoring, his assisting, but his influence, because he adds a fear factor because he has the pace in the team for the opposition defense to go, what the fuck is this? I'm shitting myself, you know?
But Burnley's defense was already doing that. It's just we couldn't finish it off. It's not as if we didn't dominate them 80%.
Gags, in the Premier League, by the way, there's a goal in it. There's one goal. It's early days.
Oh yeah, of course it is. We're just we're discussing it.
And overall, do you know?
Right, look at you. It's come out
overall.
No, here you go.
Yeah. This is where it gets interesting. So Sergio has got 5 goals for him. Sterling's got 4. De Bruyne and what's his face? Arjen Nacho. I've got 2 each.
Yeah. So they're sharing them about as well.
And Alito's got 2 as well.
Yeah, they're sharing them about. That's fair enough.
Okay. Unfortunately, the table misses Firmino's goals for some odd reason, which just doesn't seem right. Exactly. So there's a goal in it. So we've got 12 goals out of Mane, Milner, Coutinho, and Lallana, 3 each from that lot.
Yeah.
And he had 2 of them from me. So it's 14 versus 16, 14 versus 15, give or take, if you're nitpicking. It's a goal. There's a goal in it. Assist-wise, much more shared around on our side.
Yeah.
So that makes me think that, you know, our midfield is working for each other. With City, they're going to play in a system whereby they're going to work towards getting the ball towards the striker. From what I can see, you know, they're looking for someone pivotal to put the ball in the back of the net.
Great curveball, by the way, Gats.
You know, and I still say Mane. Because over the course of that season, we're looking at Southampton, right? And yet, as Dyke has already said, at Southampton, he was playing as the go-to. When he was the go-to and he was on form, you just see him tear said team, Man City, apart. You know,
or us apart.
In our team, he could be anything on that day. He could be the person who gets the goals. He can be the person who drags players away. He can be the player who does the assists. He can be anything because he'll be whatever Klopp wants him to be in that forward line at that moment in time.
I want to see this Liverpool team without Mane in, and let's see what happens. That's what I want to see.
You'll find that in January, won't you, when he goes to the African?
Yes, we will. And let's see. Let's hope we can hold it up.
2 league games against Chelsea and Man United, I believe.
Oh, for damn. And I'm guaranteed we've got 2 semi-finals in the Carling Cup as well.
Hopefully.
Mickey Mouse Cup, whatever it is.
We'll have FA Cup in the January.
Yeah. And if we're in the semis, they'll be in January.
They're in January, are they?
Yeah, right. They're in January as well. So, okay, well, that was really
up to the other boys to stand up, isn't it? And I've got confidence they will.
Hopefully. Well, that was really interesting. Yeah. Good to hear your thoughts on that. We're running a little bit over, but so let's do a quick preview of the Swansea game. I mean, this one, it's been a strange one over the years. We've lost 2, drawn 2, 1-1. And this year, I'm really hoping we kind of turn this around and start going the other way. They're not really that good, I don't think, Swansea this year. So, I mean, do we carry on as we've left off in September, or will it be pinch punch first day of the month from Swansea? And also, you know, Klopp's 1 year in charge coming up as well, won't it? So, Cam, let's go with you first on this one. What do you think's going to happen?
Yeah, I'm very hopeful of a win. I don't see why we shouldn't win. The team's playing really, really well. We've got players coming back from injury, getting stronger as well. We've got options on the bench if we need it. I don't see anything from Swansea this season as that has made me sit up and think, oh wow, look at Swansea. They're going to cause teams problems. They've been very much under the radar.
I don't put them down as a park bus team either.
No, not at home.
They tried against Man City on the weekend. And they really frustrated Man City until they got that empty penalty.
Oh, right. Okay. So they did well.
They did do well. Yeah.
We'll move them about better. We've got the fullbacks playing a lot better now. They're stretching teams a lot better now.
Klopp called them midfielders on Monday Night Football. They're midfielders, not fullbacks.
No, they're not fullbacks. So
midfielders, man. Fucking hell, it's crazy.
Yeah. 3 points. I'm confident.
Daigo, would you agree?
I think 3 points. I think their manager's under a lot of pressure at the moment. They haven't won since the opening day. And I don't know if all their signings have come together that well. The positive performances they've had this season, though, have been against the bigger team. So, you know, they had a 2-2 draw against Chelsea. They narrowly lost in the EFL Cup last week against Man City. They played them again in the league and actually played well for the vast majority of the game. Unfortunate to concede that penalty and lost 3-1. So Swansea have done well against City and Chelsea. So they're likely to up the potential banana skin here. Actually, they actually played, you know, from what I saw of the match today, they weren't terrible against Leicester either. They lost 2-1, but pressure's on them all the games that they've lost apart from Man City this season have been by one goal. I think actually that's a lie. They lost a whole 2-0, but they haven't been hammered. So I think it's not going to. The first goal obviously important. I don't know what it is with us at Sunderland, at Swansea.
Yeah, the confidence that we're in. No, we don't turn up a lot.
But this is a different team now. If we carry on with this confidence, you know, I think we can break them down. It's interesting. Like, it'd be a good game to watch actually. See how we go about it. Whether we go straight in at them in their faces from the very beginning, and that will show, like you said, Gags, you know, that we'll never turn up. You know, if we get in their faces from the first 20 minutes, that'll set the tone for the rest of the game.
That was the 13-14 mantra. Go hard, really, really hard first half, and just put the game first to 20 bed minutes. Pretty much. And it worked. I hope we do it. I think Klopp plays that way anyway, heavy metal. Bargy, you've been at majority of these games. You're going again this weekend, aren't you, to Swansea? So
I am indeed.
Give us some of what's happened in the past then. You know, what have you felt? What's it like there? And why is it such a weird place to go for us as a team, you know?
We go very weird. Do you know what? It's not Swansea, it's us. I can't blame Swansea. All right. Look, last five, six seasons or so. Yeah, 1-0 loss with Kenny. They fucking turn up as Elvis at their last match. For fuck's sake. And I mean, just because Brendan goes, oh, let's turn up as Elvis. You know what? Well, whatever happened there, we lost 1-0 and rest is history. Then it was the 0-0, which is kind of like a boring school draw. Then there was the 2-2 draw where Shelby did what Shelby does. That one. Then the deflected goal from Hendo for the 1-0, which is the last in the season where we were on a run because it started terribly in 14-15. That was the last one that we won. Then we lost to Man United. Hey, great. No, good going. 15-16, you kind of write off, which is last season 3-1 because it's before the Europa League ties, right? No one gives a shit. Seriously, last one you might as well scratch.
True.
Because we play well.
We didn't play any of those league games.
Exactly. It was just full of kids, right?
Yeah.
Literally. But they're us last season. If you look at Swansea, their manager is under pressure. Yeah. Swansea are quite openly courting other people. I think there was a guy in the press today, but they met with, what's the US team's manager? Bob Bradley.
Sam Allardyce.
Bob Bradley. it's definitely not going to be Fat Sam that quickly over there. I think Fat Sam's having chats with Nigel Pearson at this moment. And do you know what? I want to beat them because Llorente said no to us way back when. And because Llorente said no to us, we ended up with Andy Carroll. Thanks, Llorente. Thanks, Fernando.
Got fucked over by another Fernando. Jesus.
Huh?
Marty done this.
Honestly. Well, you're like, you know, we came knocking. We had the money. He said, no, man, you're taking off. You're not half it. I'm going to fucking suffer in Swansea then.
you're hard jokes today.
Oh, I've got no heart. Listen, this is the ruthless version. And I like, I get Klopp. Klopp is ruthless. Yeah, I've loved it. I've loved this season for his ruthlessness. He's not here to, you know, be namby-pamby around anybody, hunji-hunji-panji-panji-karki, oh, yeah, no problems kind of thing. Fuck that shit right off. He's gone. You know what? Fuck it. We are Liverpool. This is what we're going to do. Did it to Chelsea, did it to so many other teams. Post-Burnley, we've looked at a completely different outfit. Completely different outfit. We don't want to be meek. Yeah, we're just getting stronger and stronger and stronger. But, this time last year, we were lucky about going into the Everton derby because of what was on the horizon. And everyone kind of knew by it. But it was Wednesday. You know what? We thought, you know what? Wednesday, Thursday, someone records a pod. It comes out on a Friday. Come Sunday, we go to the match. We all know what happens.
Yeah, it was a horrible time, Bargy. Yeah, but
horrible. A year on, look how much has changed.
It's
chalk and cheese, right? So I expect Klopp to look at this match and go, just before the international break, finish on a high, destroy them. Go out there and put another team to the sword. Put another team on their legs, looking for mercy, for it to just stop. That's how we should be on when we go to Swansea.
You mean Brendan's death by football? It's quite weird, isn't it? Like how it works out.
Different manager.
I know.
Could you believe it? Yeah, but that's what we want. We want this to happen. You know what? This is kind of what we've been building ourselves towards because we've seen it with Dortmund, when Klopp was at Dortmund, when it looked like a machine. It was all slick and everything was humming. They could put teams to bed really, really quickly and really, really easily. With such incisive movement that we've got, you know, our razor sharp knife should literally just be going chop, 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 like slice and dice. You know what? Fucking go out there, smash him 6-0.
Okay.
Seriously.
Is that what you're saying?
Liverpool just, that's what I'm saying. Liverpool go out there, smash him 6-0.
No, but is that
don't give a shit.
Well?
That's my prediction as well. Smash him 6-0.
Clean sheet.
And that's not me being overconfident about it. I'm telling you straight. Do you know what? At some point, Liverpool have to keep a clean sheet and absolutely destroy somebody. We've got, we've done the three. We've
I'm
done the
put
four.
A bet
done
on
6-0. Fuck it. Come on. Go to six.
I'm going
to
put the bet
go
on
to six.
No, that's what you buy. You're going to put a bet on 6-0. Right. Cam.
I love you. I don't gamble. Thank
I know
you.
Exactly. I'll do it. Yeah, go. Cam. Yeah. It's a prediction.
It could be anything, couldn't it? It could be honestly anything. You just don't know. I mean,
do
are
you
we going to
Marco Lopez?
Sorry?
Do a prediction for Marco Lopez. That's what my that's why I'm going 6-0.
Marco
Lopez said he predicted that we would not win. I'm very upset about this. Marco,
really?
I love you as my Portuguese South African brother, but dude, no. We're here to win games. We have to say we win.
You
can't
know what?
Predict a loss.
Someone's getting a chopper if they're saying we're going to lose.
I don't think I don't think he said we're going to lose.
He hinted at such
by
not saying that we're going to lose.
He didn't say it.
You just have to go mathematical about it.
I'm standing up for my AI podcast host, Brethren. Right.
Yeah.
Cam.
2-0.
Okay. Geiger.
3-0.
Okay. I'm going to go with 4-0 then. So I'm in the middle. No, 4-1. We're going to concede. Fuck it. 4-1. We're going to concede.
Talk about negative. There's always one negative person.
Right. So thank
you.
You know, it's going to be Milner's going to just give something stupid away. Anyway, right. So thank you very much for that, guys. The main part of the pod's done. So we're going to go into the awards. Klopp, Guti, Jutti has now been retired because we've put the heart of Jutti on Mourinho's head and around his neck. He's happy with that. So in Desi team, there's nothing more personal than the insult of a slap. A putti had the Japan. So the backhanded one's even better. But this one is going to be from Chacha Buvak the Japan. So Buvak slap. Who would you give the chopper to, the topper to this week? Tiger.
It's got to be Big Sam, doesn't it?
In it. It's got to be.
It's got to be.
Why?
He's a daft one, eh? He's a daft one. I mean,
he's a daft twat.
No.
He's a fudu. He's the biggest fudu in football. That is what you call fudu. Sorry. You get the job that you wanted, the job that you've been fucking pining for how many years, and you fucking openly goad better managers than you. You goad managers that are super, you know, far superior to you, and yet you're doing all this bullshit in the background. Which leg are you standing on, motherfucker? Like, get the fuck out. Sorry, not you, Diger. I'm talking about Fat Sam. Sorry, go. That's my little rant.
As I said.
Sorry, Tiggs.
As I said, you know.
I hate him, as you can tell.
Yeah, he's never been popular with Liverpool fans, and I don't need to add anything else to that. You know what? Everything that he did, I didn't want him to get the job in the first place, but he got it, and look, egg on his face.
Dagger, you don't even know what he's done in the past. What he's got away
with?
Well,
there were suggestions before with him and Darren Ferguson.
Together. Panorama, way back when.
Way back when. So you'd think that the FA would have factored that in, but I think this whole investigation is probably gonna. This is good. This is the tip of the iceberg. This is just opening it, and I think it's going to open up a lot more. They talked about eight other managers. So
wow. Cam, any disagreement with Diger?
No, there was no disagreement. Obviously, at the beginning of the week, there was a different candidate, but Fergie's bum-chum, cock-sucking, Mad Bosarini, Haramzada, Salah Kutta. I could go on.
Gando Salah.
Gando Salah. He is such a despicable person. You know, there can't be a Liverpool fan on the planet who likes this guy in any way, shape, or form. He deserves everything coming to him. Everything. You know, he is the prize dick, if ever there was one. So, yeah, the fat fuck that is Sam.
That's pretty conclusive.
You cannot disagree, surely, on this one.
Oh, I've got a better one.
Oh, God, I knew it.
No.
Oh, I've got a better one. So, in the words of Jocelyn Peter, you know, somebody going to get a hurt real bad. But in the infinite lack of fucking wisdom, and I do mean lack of wisdom, FIFA decides to disband its anti-racism task force.
Oh, yeah,
and its declaration was, we have completely fulfilled our temporary mission. How the fuck was it a temporary mission? You absolute bandits. Kutte de bachyo. Are you fucking tapped in the skull? But you disband the one thing that's rife in certain parts of the game. Go out your own fucking country. Leave Switzerland. You know, go out there. See what happens in the world. And you go, we have completely fulfilled our temporary mission. Please call back later. Fuck off! FIFA, seriously, you would get rid of your racism task force. Seriously. With everything that's ever happened in football. Now, previously, which could possibly happen in the future as well. They go, yeah, no worry. Jobs are good in. Yeah, he's all done. Fat Sam. You know what? The reason I'm not going to hit it to Fat Sam? Because oh, kam hoi jana janaya. Fat Sam, I guarantee, will be in a job by December. Before Christmas, he'll have another job. That's how fickle football is. That's how fickle the whole system is. That's how fickle the FA are. The irony here is that the FA want to do things about ethics and standards. Well, they have none of their own. They haven't had ethics or standards for fucking years. Where the fuck were they in 1989? They're culpable for so many things. They can fuck right off if they sit there and think I'm going to believe the sheer fact that, oh yeah, look, we got rid of Sam because the reputational risk that he's put on the game. FA, you've been doing it yourselves for years.
I'm going to agree with you. I think the racism is a huge issue in football. Still is. It always will be. It exists, you know, in every facet. And then we can't just say it's done, finish it off. So if I do get the deciding vote, as I usually do as the host, then I'll, as much as I've already ranted on Sam, so that's all out there. You all know how I feel. I think the racism stuff, that's a bit of a stupid thing. Let's give the slap to FIFA. They deserve that. Any disagreements there, guys?
No, can't disagree with that.
Okay, then. So who gets the lovely juppy? Let's start with Tiger again. So who gets Klopp's hug this week? Who do you think deserves it?
Can Klopp give it himself?
No, he can't hug himself. He can't. Monday, hug he gets the Tiger hug.
Monday, exactly. Monday Night Football. I'm telling you, I can't have been the only one. I think the whole country was there with the jaw on the ground. This guy is impressive. You know, he talks to everyone listening. I think Jamie Carragher wants to have his children.
Yeah, he never looked at his wife like that.
There was a lot of love in those eyes.
There was love. So I think Klopp just needs to give himself a bit of a juppy. After back of that week as well, generally, you know, we're all proud to have him as our manager. That's it from me.
Okay, Cam?
I'm going to have to disagree with Tiger on this one.
Hi, Kabardar.
Sorry. And the reason being is, and we've touched on this fella earlier in the pod, we have slated him a lot, but for me, he's been absolutely brilliant. Yeah, it's got to be Adam Lallana. He deserves as many juppies as you can give him right now, because we need him to carry on doing what he's doing. So Klopp can give himself a juppy any time, but Adam deserves it today. So for me, Adam Lallana, you're my man, son.
Baji, any disagreement with the?
I do.
We can.
I do. So we can't really give it to Klopp because it's very difficult to hug yourself.
Wow.
You can't never get your arm.
We've talked about this before. We know this. Go on.
Yeah, you can't really do that. And if you've been exercising like Cam has, I'm worried about the fact that he thinks that he can get his arms around his own chest. You try, Cam. Like, seriously, can you touch the bag? I mean, if you can do that, it means you've not been doing your press ups.
So you don't want to give it to the
I haven't.
Either.
You're right. Yeah. I haven't.
You don't want to give it.
The kia kitani. So earlier last week, it was early last week. They gave the freedom of the city to the likes of Kenny Dalglish and the families of the 96. But on the 27th minute, And I've listened back yes. to Liverpool's commentary, Liverpool LFC TV's own commentary of that day. They couldn't have got the fucking commentary more wrong. So I'm going to do this one justice, if you let me. At the 27th minute, the cop stood and started applauding. Then everybody else started applauding. And they were applauding for one man. That man is Jerry MacIver. If you don't know who Jerry MacIver is, MacIver, by the way, not MacIver, who's somebody completely different and was a Richard Dean Anderson in a television program in the 80s, 90s. Go and Google Jerry MacIver. His name is synonymous with the Hillsborough Justice Campaign from when it started. Not the end, not the bit in the middle, the beginning. Every time I went to the HJC shop, and most people here on this pod, or even people who are listening, have been to the HJC shop. He was the man with the glasses, with the graying hair, always there. Always there. Match day, you name it, he'd be the one opening the shop. He'd be the one standing there. He'd be the one you'd be getting your stickers off, your badges off, your pins off. He's the one we would give that we climb the hill in our own way, banner to look after. He'd be the one who'd look after banners for other people who fly them on match days. He'd be the guy that you could just ask anything to at the HJC and he'd do it for you. He was a stalwart for the Hillsborough Justice Campaign. And it's not just about the families. The survivors, and we've had them on our pods as well, the survivors are many and they live with this. They live with certain traumas on a daily basis. Jerry helped them too. So I would give the hug to Jerry because without Jerry, there was very little. And without Jerry, there'd be some things that I could never have done or never have seen or never been allowed to help with in my own lifetime. So I'd give it to Jerry.
I'm not going to disagree with that one either. I think that one's nailed on as well. No disagreements, guys?
No.
No, Bargy's killing it today. He smashed it.
Oh, that's a natural pair of mother tongue.
Isn't it? He keeps smashing us one. No, very fitting Bargy. And it should have been covered much better by LFC, to be honest. So a bit of a shame there.
It was. I mean, Gags, I mean, do you know what the words were? The words were, oh, it's for a fan who's passed away. That was their wedding, a fan who passed away. I'm like, well, hang on, it's a bit more than that.
Yeah. Okay.
That's poor.
It is poor. Well, on that pretty sad note, really.
Okay, so look, you know what? We don't like leaving this on a sad note. We shouldn't leave things on a somber note. Gags went to New York.
I did.
And whilst he was shopping yesterday, I realised something fantastic, actually. That there's a vacancy now at the very highest echelons of English football. So if you do the hashtag gags there for England,
fuck's sake,
you can join the campaign. There's no money involved. There's nobody who's going to say, you know, if you donate £2 by a direct debit, like you see on many Asian channels, there's no telephone line to call. It's just a hashtag gags there for England. Make it happen, people. Make it happen.
And basically, you might even get on the fucking coaching stuff because I'm not doing coaching. I'm managing AI. That's a big enough job. For me, no, but that picture was hilarious. You haven't seen it, you can check it out on Twitter.
It was brilliant. Horrendous, it was top draw. It's hilarious. Best one yet.
But basically, I'm going to do the plugs then for this one. So there's all those guys in New York at LFC NY, Justin Wells and Kev Hegarty and AJ that came to meet us, and obviously Andrew as well. So many guys, there is Christine there. There's so many people, so many nice people make you feel welcome, make you feel right at home. And it just makes you feel like you're watching the game, you know, at the stadium. I was shouting at the screen. They're like, why are you shouting at the screen, Gags? I feel like I'm at the game. The atmosphere is such in that bar, in the 11th Street bar, that you feel like you're right there. So if anybody is ever going to New York, you must go and watch a game there. Go in there, mention AI, go and find Justin Wells, you know, They'll make you feel welcome anyway, but you should definitely go and try that out. They're fantastic. They are the place to go to for watching Liverpool in New York. And I love New York anyway as it is. So yeah, make sure you just do that. So big plug to them. Massive part of the USA pod as well is Justin and this Kev and the LA guys as well, like Armando. So make sure you listen to those shows when they do come out. I'm sure they're planning one next week. But that's it, really. There's loads of shows out. Go and check them all out. There's too many to mention. We're doing 10, 11 a week nowadays. Oh, my God, and that's just the football side. So, my massive thank you to Tiger, Cam, and, of course, Bargy. That was a great show. Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you for having us on. Thank you, guests, for coming as well.
Anytime. Our pleasure.
And we will see you in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, pre-United. Dun, dun, dun. Sports Social Podcast Network.